Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership. We continue our focus this week on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. Here in the studio this week, we have Lori Beth back with us from El Paso. She was out visiting last week. Speaker, author of 14 books, and the book Leading Our Discussions from Studio G, Jesus CEO. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. It's so great to be back in San Diego.
Good to have you back. And representing the business pillar is Vicky Arteaga. Welcome, Vicky.
Thank you.
Good night. And representing the education pillar, Elisa Holston. Welcome.
It is great to be here.
Good to have everybody in the studio, and we're excited about our topic tonight on how an Omega leader takes action. And these shows on developing women in leadership have become a passion for us, each of us here at Studio G. And so this week we move into our focus topic on an Omega leader, how an Omega leader takes action. But before we do that, Lori Beth is going to parse out for us the definition of an Omega leader. Lori Beth?
An Omega leader is someone who has the capacity to be the alpha leader in the group, saying, now is the time to act, my way or the highway, which sometimes is necessary, particularly if you're in a crisis situation. And then you also have the capacity to be the beta cooperative, which is, what shall we do here? What would you like to do? Let's gather the thoughts of the others and take them into consideration. And the Omega leader is always linked and connected to one boss, and that is God, the higher power. So the Omega leader has the capacity to move equally between those two styles, always keeping in mind that he or she answers to a higher power. So that's my definition of an Omega leader. Jesus said he was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And end not meaning that it's over, but end meaning completion or the penultimate expression of God. So.
Excellent. Love that definition, and I seem to love it more every week as I hear it, as you voice it over the air as listeners. Probably could go back to some previous episodes and hear a very similar definition, but it just seems to kind of crescendo as we are looking at Jesus CEO as a role model for women in leadership. I think it just really speaks to my heart and just the whole concept about developing women leaders. And so I love that you coined the phrase leader. Thank you for doing that. So we jump into this evening, and Lori Beth is going to kick off a segment tonight reading an essay that she has written previously called Sat the Cat, which makes a great case in point for our continued discussion on the Omega leader takes action.
Yes, this was written on August 29th of this year, called Sat the Cat. I feel compelled to tell the tale of a cat named Sat, who fared not well. While other felines fare and fine, know how a cat should spend its time, Sat preferred to do not that. She just sat and sat and sat and sat. No looking in drawers or paws under doors, no pouncing on light or all things in flight, no climbing on curtains or dashing outside, no playing the game of you seek and I'll hide, we're in the calendar mix for Sat, the remarkably incurious cat. While others awakened to challenge the day or arch their backs in a state of mock fray, Sat knew only to extend her claws slowly one by one and return back to pause. She never turned her head this way and that, nor peered around corners or under the mat. She never wondered what was on the roof or deep in the basement. What just went woof? Sat would spend her days rolling side to side, not with her body, but with her eyes. She had figured the way, I know not how, to do very little, like even right now. While all the world scampers and hops up and leaps, Sat's only desire is to go back to sleep. Why are you here? I asked her one day. Why don't you get up and go forth and play? There's a mouse in the barn, perhaps even two, and a cricket that chirps, making fun of you. But Sat looked at me, barely I knew, because I happened to be in her point of view. She knew somehow I would go away and do what humans do in a day. She knew I might jump up and throw down a fit, while she could continue to sit and sit. That is sat over there, or what used to be her. When she died, I stuffed her with styrofoam fur. She's a permanent feature on my green couch of a cat that never had to say ouch. She avoided all pain and, sadly, all fun by never leaping or looking or learning to run. As you can guess, she got really obese. She could barely be lifted up by the police, whom I called when I realized she'd breathed her last breath. They came to determine her cause of death. They filed their papers. It's plain to see this cat expired from a deficiency, not of vitamins, food, or water, you see. She severely lacked curiosity. She was really, I think, a waste of a cat. She's a far better pillow. Come here, have a set. But don't move her. She definitely would not like that.
Wow.
A little Dr. Seussian poem there on Sat the Cat, which reminds me of people that I know, and maybe you you too. So curiosity is a part of life, and curiosity means what's over there. And when you ask questions like what's over there, you're going to be in a situation where you might need to take action, like jump back or jump higher or jump further or scream or yell or even say ouch. But it means you're alive. And the secret of, one of the secrets of the Omega Leadership Style is taking action, even if you don't have all the information. In fact, we know now that you'll never have all the information. And Jesus took action in every situation in which he found himself. He did not wait for reinforcements. He did not call for committee appointments. When someone calls a committee, that's, to me, that often means, you know, this is an opportunity to kick the ball further down the road or to pass the buck. And so Jesus saw himself as the solution that God had sent for that situation, not in an egocentric thing like I'm God's gift to women or to this company, but I am God's representative. And if anyone is going to, perhaps I was sent to address this issue, and maybe it can't be solved by one person. If you're addressing a system that's dysfunctional, you alone are not going to be able to change it, but someone needs to take action, and that's what Omega leaders do.
Well, that was a lot of information. Good information. Yes. So in this discussion on how you're talking about action, you refer to the picture of God, often wondering what God's drawing board must have looked like during the first days of creation, that Jesus came to create new ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. This kind of new ways of thinking and taking action upon action upon action. Talk a little bit about that, because our days are full of next steps and checking off the list. Okay, I did that action item, now this item.
Right, and many times when we're taking action, one step leads to another, and then it evolves into something that really becomes a grand plan, or becomes, you know, you can look back and say, wow, that was a turning point. That was when it really shifted. And in rereading the chapter in Jesus CEO, I'm reminded of my friend Cindy, who was a biologist, and I was talking about God's creation of sea creatures. And I said, guy, and then there's the jellyfish, and then there's the sea anemones, and then there's the little shrimp and the car wash shrimp that wash the fish that go by. And she laughed and she said, well, when you're talking about the evolutionary scale, she said, you know, everything kind of leads to one thing that leads to the next thing, to the next thing. And she said, there's only one thing that just got one place and stopped. And I said, what was that? She said, the sponge. And I thought that was really funny, because the sponges, they just take it in, but they don't really move much, you know, unless someone picks them up and throws them or whatever. So maybe you feel like it's safe to be a sponge because you're just taking it all in, whether it's abuse or information, but you're not going to grow. You're going to be a dead end on the evolutionary scale in the sense of the biologist's viewpoint, because you're not going to turn into anything else other than someone who just takes it all in. So I think taking action is part of the creation process of our life path and our life plan. I know Steve and Dave were talking in a coaching session about life balance, and that they talked about bicycle couriers in New York, that they don't stop. when they come to a red light, that they keep in motion, and that it's much easier to balance yourself when you are moving than when you are stopped. We have a personal story about it. Several people here are learning how to bike with the clip pedals, and you don't take your feet out. When the bike is moving, you will fall over no matter how much you know that you should have taken it. And you will have
That's
multiple.
That's called the major strength of action right there.
Right. Anticipatory action, in which she just learned, and this is Shelley we're talking about. If the guy had told her you need to pull your shoes out of the clips when you're going 5 miles an hour instead of waiting till you stop. That's a red light. But anyway.
Proactive.
Proactive, exactly. That's a good word.
Yeah. So I had a thought as you were talking about creation, and I don't know, it's just maybe a parallel. It has a lot of theological baggage to it. We talk about creation and a lot of doctrine associated with creation. But wow, I just was struck by the concept of on day one, this is what he did. This is what God did. Day two, this is what God did. Day three, these are the action steps.
Right.
And then on the seventh day, he took a nap and, you know, put his feet up on the footstool of the earth and chilled out.
Right.
Wow, what a great picture of creation in motion, you know, showing us that even God, you know, had an action list and kept things
right
to stay on the timeline.
And didn't rest on his laurels. And I say in the book, you know, if you had created the peacock feather, I mean, isn't that just about as good as it gets?
Right.
In terms of beauty and iridescence,
yes.
Spectacularness. And then, let's do one, a beak that looks like a banana. You know, so when you are, and Jesus said, when you abide in me, you will be fruitful. And so when you are abiding in the Lord, it's always the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, because the mind of God never stops.
Speaking of fruitfulness, I have a question for you in terms of, I know that, like today, my day was incredibly busy, but I wouldn't say that it was a day of action.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between busyness and action, and how can we How can we prevent ourselves from succumbing to the to perhaps the tyranny of the urgent, which is maybe being busy versus action?
Right. Well, I think, you know, we're working on a tool called the decision matrix, and we also, with the elements, we also have something that it's just a quadrant, and you draw a quadrant, and then you have a little symbol for the earth, and you have a symbol for the wind and the water and the fire. And so yours, you feel like you weren't in action because it wasn't your agenda,
mm-hmm.
but it could be that you were in action, you were in meetings with other people, which would be a water relationship skill.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed to see you there. So you could say, I didn't get tasks done that my agenda, but mm-hmm. it was a water productive time because I was in relationship. So that may be a way elementally to look at it. And I think the other thing is, were you living your mission today?
Yes.
Yes, you were. So even sometimes just showing up mm-hmm. and standing there, you held the space for the disenfranchised.
So one person's business is another person's action, perhaps.
It could be, and you know, we talk about don't let other people dictate your to-do list mm-hmm. and make sure you're living your mission and not someone else's. And yet when you're on a team and when you're in relationship, there mm-hmm. are times when you just say, okay, I'm going to go with the flow. I was mm-hmm. just consulting with a client yesterday, and I always go up there with a lot, you know, big action list. And for some reason, they all just wanted to laugh. There was just a silliness in the air. And so I had to just say, you know what, this is a wind, water day. I'm not going to get my fire task done, but the team wants to laugh, and they deserve it. So I just laughed with them.
Right.
You know, so that
would
was...
You consider that a day of action.
Yes. Well, was I productive? Yes, because I was still on the quadrant scale of...
Relationally.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to be able to laugh. And
so I guess my question would be then, what would constitute inaction then?
Inaction?
Mm-hmm. I guess if the challenge is... Such as that, how does one discern what is action or not? If busyness, engagement, and task, depending on the element and its alignment to your mission, is indeed could be defined as action, What if Sat the Cat? Mission
was to sit. Sat the Cat did that well. That was the mission of a cat, but then why didn't God make her a pillow?
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you always come up with really insightful, multi-layered questions, but I think inaction is the sponge or Sat the Cat when there's no curiosity.
There's no movement.
No movement. And also, there's no caring. And also when you are not living your mission or your vision. There are times when God calls us to be still, but obedience is always active.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that's the phrase.
I'm waiting on God.
Is active obedience, whether you move a step or not.
Yeah. And it's often out of character otherwise.
Yeah, especially for winds.
Or especially for the cat, you know, not
exactly.
To be curious.
Yeah.
That's a great analogy, too.
I have a question regarding, the Omega leader. I see that as a person that knows when to wait, knows when to act, and balances. I've seen in the business times people want to wait till they have all the elements. So I call that analysis paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
And how can somebody train future leaders to be able to make decisions they don't have all the elements?
Well, and that goes to the question of the elemental leadership style, which is fires are born to take action, whether or not they have the information. It's just I'm here to act and I'm gonna do it. So wisdom counsels that you get many counsel. But there is a time when you have to say, I'm making the call. Time of death, boom. You know, time wheels up, boom. So to train people to do that, I would say, have they gathered as much information in a reasonable amount of time? And is the action moving them along in their mission and vision? Is it in alignment? And I remember watching a show that was very popular, West Wing, and I was just amazed at how fast they had to make decisions.
Mm-hmm. On the fly.
On the fly. But they had spent...
In the hallways.
But they had spent 2 or 3 or 4 years or maybe even a lifetime getting clear about what their core values were, how they were... They didn't know the decisions they were going to be faced with, but they knew the
knew who they were.
They knew who they were, and they knew what they wanted to move forward in the world. So I think... Good question.
On a personal note, have you had an example where you waited instead of acting?
Yes.
Can you give us some insight about that? Like, give us an example. And was that productive? Was that, if you have an example that it didn't work and what you learned from it,
mm-hmm.
and an example that it did work and why?
Well, I had, when I was in El Paso with Catherine, who was on the last show, we spent many hours walking the river, as we always do, and I asked her, I said, you know, what percentage of your life decisions have been made intuitively? Mm-hmm. And she thought about it, including being her husband and her career and children. She said, basically all of them mm-hmm. were intuitive. And then I laughed, and I said, for me, most of them have been impulsive. So there's a difference between intuition and impulsiveness. But, yes, sometimes I have waited, and I think the larger question is choosing your battles. Because as a wind fire, something makes me mad almost every day that I want to correct. And if you've seen the movie September issue about Anna Wintour and the Vogue thing,
yeah.
Her father finally quit when he said he just got too mad. And she said, I'll probably quit when I'm just too mad. So obviously she's a fire personality type. But I think the hardest thing for a wind fire elementally is to wait upon the Lord. And I know that I declared when I was 19 that someday I was going to write a book called Jesus in Blue Jeans. And it was finally published when I was 42. So that's more than 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, and I think that's what's frustrating elementally for winds. Fires is you can see something and it's real in your mind,
right.
But you have to wait for the world or maturity or, you know, God serves no wine before it's time. So I think it's very important. And I often remind myself of Jesus, who saw people dying around him every day
right.
and did not heal all of the people. people that were dying. There was very, he was very strategic in the actions that he took that would have the larger impact, being obedience. And that is, talk about a dog that can sit with a bone on its nose for 10 minutes. That's the kind of obedience God wants from us. And Jesus certainly displayed that by not just running around and healing everybody and feeding everybody. And, whoo, it's a big party. You know, he was very strategic. So I don't know if that answered the question.
Yes,
but
it does. Thanks.
There, you bring it, speaking of the elements, is approach to action, is one's approach to action, how does that correspond to the elements? Like the fire, I imagine I'm quick to act, I'm ready, fire, aim.
Right, right.
You know, is there a correlation with the elements in terms of one's approach to action?
Oh, absolutely. The earth is more cautious. And it's not because it's fearful, which the wind thinks it's fearful. The earth wants to get it right. You know, measure twice, cut once. We won't have to do this again. So the earth be more naturally predisposed to not take immediate action until they have as much information as they can. And the earth, it's so amazing, is the work that they do is invisible. You know, you put an acorn in an earth, and we can't even know the forces that come to bear to make that thing grow. There's no way, we haven't even begun to discover that. But once the earth commits, it will bring everything to bear. So that's why it knows that it doesn't want to just act willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the water taking action, water left in its own state will be still and stagnant.
Does water take action?
Spoken from a fire. Waters will take action if it's going to cause something to live or grow, and when acted upon by the other elements. So rain is a combination of the wind and the water, and the waves are a combination of the magnetic pull of the earth and the moon, and if fire hits them, they'll turn into steam. But waters will rush towards anything that gives life.
Okay.
So however that takes action, it might not be obvious to the other elements, but water is always in motion towards giving life.
You know, I was reading today, Lori, in a context of looking at the woman that came to the tomb of Jesus. I'd like to think she was an Omega leader that took action. And she went there to do a task, a particular task.
And maybe a little curiosity.
Maybe.
Maybe.
A little curiosity. Mm-hmm. And she did not find... according to the text, she did not find what she was looking for and was surprised that that Jesus' body had been moved or taken or empty, nothing there. And so as I read that, in light of looking at an Omega leader, the action steps that followed, how quickly she ran to the next thing that she had to do. And you know, I think about women today and women that will listen to this particular show on, you know, sometimes, and address this for us a little bit, but sometimes we look at the big picture. We have the end in mind as an Omega leader, as the woman at the tomb. She had the end in mind. It was her task to complete this burial process. And we see the big picture, but it seems that sometimes in the day-to-day that we get off track or we get distracted. And so at 19, you were told or felt or inspired, I'm going to write a book about Jesus in blue jeans, and then 20-some years later, here it is. It's birthed, it's published, it's in the hands of your audience. Wow, that's a long time. You know,
that
like
is
long time. And so as an Omega leader, you have the end in mind as an Omega leader.
Right.
You know what it is that you're doing. At the woman at the tomb of Jesus knew exactly. She was the first one there.
Right.
She was the first one to carry the message.
Right.
And now look at us. You know, we're all here historically as, you know, to tell the message. But I, you know, I just want to encourage the listeners today, somehow encourage the listeners that, you know, part of being an Omega leader, what sets an Omega leader apart is that the action, the day-to-day action of staying close to your mission and completing that out. Talk to us about that.
Well, and even circling back around to it, and why did it take 22 years in my case? I could say, well, I wasn't mature enough. I could say I got distracted. And, you know, a lot of things happened in that time period. But I came back to it. And the word return is used 158 times in the Old Testament and New. In Jesus' Career Counselor, a book that's coming out in May, I talk about return. God wants us to return to our first love. God wants us to return. So it's never too late to come back and take the action that maybe you felt you wanted to take as a young woman or as a child or even something that you didn't do last week. It's never too late to return to it. And that's also the action is tenacity in motion.
Bring it back to life.
Right.
It was dead. The idea was dead. The project was dead. Bring it back to life.
That's right. That's the Lord that we serve, and that's the power that we have. She's not dead. She's sleeping.
Yes.
Someone will take the action to call it forth. And in the valley of the dry bones, can these bones live? Only you know, Lord. You know. Mm-hmm. Prophesy. Speak. We are the creators in this realm. Right. That's the thing that we have to get, that we are called to be the action takers, co-creators,
the agents.
And, you know, people who say they're waiting on the Lord, I just, you know, maybe that's my fire talking, but it's like, I probably judge them too much, but don't be a sponge, you know, take the action.
Sure.
Be curious, go to the tomb, and you might be surprised at what's there.
Maybe that's the answer previously. In action is when your hesitation is an excuse for not acting.
Yes, inertia, rationalized.
You know what you need to do, exactly. You know what you need to do, but
you're not doing it.
An omission is a sin.
Ah, very Catholic, yes. Very true. Very true.
For my friends, the Catholics out there.
My people.
My people! So, Jesus, the three categories of strengths of an Omega leader, we've talked in the first radio shows about the strength of self-mastery and how Jesus, you have to get clear about your mission, your gifts, the reflection time to know who you are, so that when you're walking the halls and someone says, should we bomb them or not? Should we do this or that? You will know from your core what to do. And by the way, bombing is probably never a good thing. I shouldn't say that, but
thank you for that.
Yeah. Anyway, the second category that we're talking about is the strength of action. And Omega leaders take action. You cannot be a leader if you do not act. Otherwise, you're just a philosopher or you're an advisor or a consultant. But the leaders say, okay, we're going in. And that's what action is all about. I marvel watching Shelley work. You know, if she gets something, she acts on it immediately. She doesn't sleep. I can procrastinate for a long time, but, man, she will just take action on it. And that's, people just marvel at what she does and how quickly she does it, and she doesn't waste time with procrastination. That's just not, yeah, this show. And we were reviewing, I guess it was, how long ago did you conceive the show? Days? I have a 90-second warning. It was 90 days ago that Shelley said, let's do a radio show, and everybody said, sure, if we get to hang out with you, we'll do it. And here we are. So take action. Be curious. Don't just be sat the cat and extend your claws. Use them. Use them for God's glory. Thank you very much for listening, and tune in again next week where we will have another program on the Omega Leader. Actually, not next week, on my birthday, October 15th. So, blessings to you all. Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, Elisa. Thank you, Vicki.